The other day, I was reading something about not so vital statistics. There's a lot of things around that, right? Or the history of useless things. I remember I still have a copy of that somewhere in my library. But not so vital statistics was a little bit intriguing for me because I realized, according to the article, that we spend time of our lives, at least 5 years of our lives spent waiting in line. So that's a lot of time, isn't it, waiting? An average of 6 hours a day watching television and 30 hours a week stuck in traffic, that is if you are commuting, especially in the city. And it goes on, and it gives you vital but useless statistics to live by. And so when I think of Advent, it really comes at a very inconvenient time, isn't it? Because, you know, what is in our mind? You know, we really want to get our Christmas holidays, decorations ready for the season. In fact, this Saturday, there is the hanging of the greens. It's not the hanging of the pastor, okay? Sometimes people assume that it's the time to hang the pastor. It's the hanging of the greens. So I'm going to be here briefly this Saturday to oversee the hanging of the greens. So it comes at an inconvenient time because really, who wants the whole idea of watching, especially in this season? So watching, I was told, is like TBT. Do you know what that means? Throwback Thursday. I don't know what it meant until someone told me that, you know, it was a time when we recall memories, images, pictures, stories of an ideal time that will embarrass the rest of your family and friends, especially with children. But it's the new memory thing, isn't it? Throwback Thursday. So watching is an invitation to see what God has in store for us in this holy season of Advent. And Jesus talks about the kingdom of God by way of parable. Look at the fig tree. It's as if Jesus is saying, look at the science of plants. Look at the botany of the season. So in honor of the first Sunday in Advent, I consume half a package of fig fruits this week. I'm not sure how I felt after that, but I did consume, not because I'm preparing myself for the scripture, but it is something that is really good and appetizing for me until I realize what the scripture was, especially for this Sunday. So for Jesus, who was an observant Jew, history, for example, for Jesus was experienced in a linear way. There is a beginning, there is an ending. There is a time when the doors will be open, and there is a time when the doors will be closed. So Jesus is saying that there is a time for decision-making, especially in the context of the community in which he was speaking. Which is kind of interesting, because in the ancient world, especially the Greeks and the Romans, that's not how they experience reality. The reality, for example, for the Romans and the Greeks is a never-ending cycle of birth and rebirth, renewal, and coming back again full circle. But for Jesus, you know, the reality is there is a new kingdom coming down, and this is the new kingdom of God. The earliest document written by Paul to the followers in Thessalonica, chapter 3, was intended to calm down the anxieties of the Christian community. In the book of Thessalonians, Paul was asking the people of God to pray for him, to pray for him so that one day our path will cross again. So Paul was saying, strengthen your hearts. Keep watch for the holiness of God in your lives, because our Lord is coming to be our Savior. So the encouragement of waiting really has deep connection of in what God is doing to all of us in the past. I think if there is an occasion for you and me to offer encouragement, we should take that occasion seriously, because it is an occasion where you and I can offer encouragement. But here's the problem. You know, sometimes when we listen to people, when we want to offer encouragement, you know, we go back to our own familiar stories saying of what God has done for me and that God is faithful. If you are going through difficult times, God will see you through those difficult times. God is your victory. God will finally answer all of your questions and all of your prayers. The problem in that is that it becomes your narrative. It becomes your story. Instead of listening to the story of your brother and your sister. But here is the important part. God's faithfulness is waiting to be recalled. Listen to the reading from the book of Jeremiah. It is talking about the hope that God has for God's people. Many times this gift of watching, especially in the season of Advent, is really in receiving. What is it that we can receive from God? So by the time the Gospel of Luke was written, the church, they said, has been waiting for about 75 to 80 years for the return of Jesus Christ. And the church was really on its tiptoe. When is this going to come? So they are invited always to be on a watchful eye, marked with vigilance and marked with profound expectation. Jesus said that redemption is coming near. It is not your typical Advent greeting, isn't it? Immersed with carols and hymns and lessons and all the offerings of the season. Be always on the watch and pray, that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man or the Son of God. But Jesus was teaching at the temple. That was the context. And according to the story, after he taught, he went back to the hill on Mount Olives, overlooking the temple courtyards. And then early in the morning, he would go back again there, and people followed him in the grace of the morning. And then Jesus will teach again. So one can sense from the scripture that God, through Jesus Christ, was really demonstrating his profound compassion. And perhaps Jesus was just writing for this pivotal moment. When is this moment? And so when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he mentioned the parable of the fig tree. So I was really intrigued. Why would Jesus use all of a sudden this parable of the fig tree to talk about the kingdom of heaven? So I asked Siri. You know who Siri is, right? So I asked Siri. Okay, Siri, what is it about the parable of the fig tree? And the reply was, interesting question, Romir. I said with a firm voice, what is it about fig tree in Advent? And the response was, it's too late for that question, Siri. And then finally I asked, well, what are the fruits of Advent? I thought, well, I'll be able to get some, you know, good reply. Fruits of Advent. I know fig tree is the fruit of the Advent, but I want to press my luck. I want to find out whether Siri really knows what she is talking about with all of the resources available. Well, this is what Siri found. Siri found that Advent, the Advent fruit is fruitcake. I know that fruitcake has a reputation, although no one has told me directly that I am something like that. I once received fruitcakes, and I thought, wow, that was the most loving gift from a parishioner, until I realized that fruitcakes has a life of its own. It just kind of passed on, isn't it? It has a certain genealogy, you know. It has a certain genesis, a beginning, but unfortunately, there is no ending. And then I ask again, I was frustrated, Siri, what is really the fruits of Advent? And for some reason, Siri said, oh, it's about a song about bringing some figgy pudding. I don't know what figgy pudding is all about. Apparently, back in the 16th century, it was a very good appetizing dessert. You know, you either bake it, broil it, fry it, or something like that, and you serve it, you know, to the people around you. How many of you are serving figgy pudding? Or no one? Okay, so I'm in good company then. I've never had one and never tried one, probably will never tried one. But Jesus said it's about the fig tree, whether it is in season. Watch out for the season of figs. You know, if their leaves, if their fruits are ready to sprout. Then I realized that the fig tree really was very essential in terms of our understanding about the history of the Christian faith. When you think about the fig tree, it is about fruitfulness. There was a story in the gospel. One of the landowner, the fig tree was dying, but one of the landowner says, why don't you dig around the trenches and wait for it and see whether it will bear fruit or not? Because they said it takes about 3 to 5 years. So there's a lot of watching, you know, with expectation whenever you talk about fig tree. So I think the people realize that, you know, when Jesus talks about waiting for the fig tree until its season, the disciples realize that, you know, let us wait. Let us see what is going to come. And then in the Old Testament, you know the story of Adam and Eve in being in the Garden of Eden, and they were naked because they ate something from the fruit, the tree of knowledge. Some people say the apple tree, and they discovered their own nakedness. Well, they covered themselves, isn't it, with fig leaves. And you know what happened to Jonah after he was thrown out overboard, was swallowed up by the whale, and after he was ejected from the whale, he found refuge in a fig tree, and it withered, and he was so upset. So it's right there in terms of popular imagination. And when the rabbis, including Jesus, perhaps were trying to understand Torah and what it meant for the community of faith, now they seek shelter. They seek solitude and wisdom under a fig tree. Blessings and prosperity are often associated with the fruit of the fig tree. It's the symbol of the good life. So all we need is a good fig tree, and then we can sit under it, and then we have a good life. That's what the experience was in the New Testament. But the reality is, according to our understanding of the Scripture, that it requires a lot of patience, and it, most of all, in the season of Advent, it requires all of us to watch, reminding that in our watching, we are nurtured, that we grow in terms of our understanding of what it means to be a disciple of the living Christ. So this Advent season, watching, really is to tend the flame of the Holy Spirit and allowing the light of God to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. And this Advent season, I think the invitation really is to cultivate that personal habit that can bring about transformation of our lives, our communities, and the world in which we live in. You know, we have heard all of these stories almost every day. As the president said, you know, all of these violence that we have seen should not be the new normal. People seeking justice, innocent people being denied their justice, people being shot not only in cities but in small towns. The problem that we have in the world today, our world is really in need of transformation, something deeper, something deep. But our repeated actions that form and reshape faith are really essential in this season. Habits, it's an interesting word also, means to dwell and to take shelter in. Habit is really the root word for habitat, for something that we can dwell on and to seek shelter. God has chosen to dwell in us. Our Emmanuel has come and will come again. And so we watch with a sense of expectation, because something good and something beautiful, something that will transform our lives, will come again and will reshape us. Thanks be to God.